Are you looking to buy a home here in western Wisconsin? Well, you have plenty of company, but maybe limited options. While demand is on the rise, inventory is down, and home prices are up. That means there are more people out there renting. But renters may find themselves in a similar situation as they look for affordable and accessible housing options. Today on the West Side, we talk about the housing market here in western Wisconsin. We'll begin the hour with two guests looking at home ownership and rental trends, and we'll finish the hour with a segment on UW-Eau Claire's so-called Homeless Week, when students find themselves between leases with nowhere to go. Good morning. I'm Dean Kallenbeck, and this is The West Side. Happy to welcome two guests in studio today. One of them is UW-Eau Claire's Department of Economics Chair, Thomas Kemp. Professor Kemp's research includes economic development and public policy design. He's also vice chair of the Eau Claire Redevelopment Authority. And Professor Kemp, thanks for joining us.
Oh, happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
And Eau Claire real estate agent Deb Hansen is also with us. She's with Century 21 Affiliated. She's an officer with the Northwestern Wisconsin chapter of the Wisconsin Realtors Association. In fact, that organization's treasurer. Deb Hansen, good to have you along.
Thank you so much for having me, Dean.
Later in the hour, we'll hear from UW-Eau Claire student reporter Kaylin Schumacher and UW-Eau Claire student body president Charlie Johnson to discuss what's called Homeless Week on the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire campus. Actually, off campus, it's a time when students have to vacate their apartments even while they still have finals to take and a graduation ceremony to walk in. That's later on in the show. Plenty to talk about otherwise when it comes to housing, though. Are you a renter who's trying to find a home you can afford? Or maybe you rent as a matter of choice. Is your housing affordable? Or is eating up a big part of your income? Is there affordable housing out there? Call us with your questions, comments, and opinions at 800-228-5615. That's 800-228-5615. Let me lay out some national trends when it comes to housing. The Pew Research Center found that the latest census data shows a greater share of U.S. households rent their homes than at any time since 1965. Thomas Kemp, what are the key factors that play into more people renting rather than buying a home?
Well, people who are renting, it seems reasonable to suggest, would, you know, are looking for more temporary solutions or just can't land a more permanent place to live at any given time. So, of course, if more people are renting in a tight rental market, it puts pressure on those prices and makes that situation difficult for people who are looking at that time.
Deb Hansen, the national statistics are showing that 36.6% of households now are living in rental housing, and that's the highest number since 1965, and it's up from about 31% from 10 years ago. What general trends are you seeing here in this part of the state as it relates to rentals versus sales?
Well, just like Thomas was saying, the rental inventory, rental inventory is quite tight right now, but home ownership, houses for people to purchase is tight. The inventory is very low. It's the lowest it's been on trend in a while. Mm. And home prices have vastly inflated since 2012. We've been in a seller's market for the last 2 years. So I think that greatly impacts home ownership and rental inventories.
Do you notice locally that the rate of home ownership has changed the last few years in our area?
Yes, it has. The statistics are showing that the median home price rose by 8.3%. But the sales have dropped over the last 2 years.
Yeah. And Thomas Kemp, the statistics I saw for Northwestern Wisconsin in April show that compared to April of last year, home for sale listings were down like 26%, while the average sale price is up about 9%, 8%, 9%. How do you interpret numbers like that as it relates to what people can expect out in the marketplace?
Yeah, it's true. Right now we're looking at about 1% of the homes in Eau Claire are on the market or likely to be on the market in the near future. So that's really quite a tight market. When those markets are tight, you know, that's when you see prices rise. So the fact that turnover is slowing, prices are rising, you know, it suggests that it's a, again, it's a demand-driven market. If you're, you know, selling a home, this is probably the time to be selling it. And if you're buying a home, you know, you're looking at a fairly tough situation.
Our guests are economics professor Thomas Kemp, who you just heard there, from UW-Eau Claire, and also Deb Hansen, Wisconsin Realtors Association treasurer for the northwestern part of the state and northwestern chapter. Professor Kemp, following up, one out of every $4 of individual net worth in this country is tied to home ownership. How do we know, or what do we know about current homeowners, and are there some common characteristics of people in the demographic of home ownership? Are they all baby boomers, or where are we seeing those people, and where are those demographics?
Well, nationwide, it's the case that home purchases, the rate of home purchase among young adults is falling. It's not what it used to be. People who are starting out in careers, starting out a family, by and large, are also not choosing to buy a home at the same time, which had been the case for the last few generations. So that's producing a changing marketplace. Now, the reasons for that are many, right? They're a more dynamic labor market. People are talking about not just starter homes, but starter jobs as well. Getting into a job, staying for a few years, moving somewhere else, that makes it difficult to be a homeowner. It also makes it not very cost-effective to be a homeowner. Secondly, wages aren't rising, and they aren't as high for new entrants into the labor force. And as a consequence, also homeownership becomes more difficult, especially in a tight market where other people are able to pull those prices up a little more.
Buying a home has always been pitched as a great investment. I remember, you know, hey, as soon as you can, get out and buy a home. But in his book, Irrational Exuberance, Nobel Prize-winning behavioral economist Robert Shiller showed in his research that home values have increased less than 1% annually, accounting for inflation over a 125-year period. So, Deb Hansen, could this upward trend in rentals simply be that some people are taking the money they would be spending on a home and putting it into investments that might be more lucrative?
And that could be possible, for sure. However, I see personally that a lot of younger people, just like Thomas said, are becoming more transient. Mm-hmm. And what I'm hearing from younger buyers is that they're not sure. This might be, like Thomas said, their starter job, and they might want to move out of the area. So there's a little bit of reluctance to buy a home in some of our younger people.
Yeah, I remember when I was in that era of life just a few years ago now. but, you know, I working in radio, and I started when I was 17 years old in radio, and the way to move up is to move to a new community. And so the idea of buying a house, the kind of rule of thumb, if I recall it correctly, is if you think you're going to be there 3 years, it's probably worth it. Otherwise, you know, I wouldn't worry about it because of the costs, front-end costs and that sort of thing. Is that still a pretty good rule of thumb?
I would say, yes, that's a good rule of thumb. And right now, because the lack of inventory is so great, home prices have vastly increased over the past few years. So I'm finding people that have bought 2 or 3 years ago are making a very good return on their investment.
Now, 11 years ago, that really wasn't the case because we had in 2008, the housing market crashed nationwide as part of the Great Recession. How did that play out here in Western Wisconsin, Deb Hansen, and how are we doing now 10 years later?
Right. Back, I remember it well, back in 2008.
I bet every real estate agent remembers it well.
Right. It was a tough time in our area. However, in our little neck of the woods here in Western Wisconsin, we are a bit more conservative as opposed to, let's say, Las Vegas or Phoenix areas. It didn't hit us quite as hard. However, since the rebound in 2012, it has become a seller's market. So home prices have greatly increased, and people are finding good value in purchasing a home.
So Thomas Kemp, I'm wondering, are there signs that we can look for that might indicate we're in another bubble with the prices up the way they are?
It's always difficult to know when you're in a bubble. If you know, you're probably not in a bubble.
and if you know, you're probably not working for a living. Right?
Yeah, that's right. So if we go back 2006, 2007, home prices in Eau Claire actually were fairly flat during that period. I mean, they were rising, but nowhere near the national average, and nowhere near some of the markets where, you know, now with hindsight, we say they're experiencing bubbles like Las Vegas or Chicago even, or Minneapolis even for that matter. And so the increases that we've seen over the last, you know, handful of years are significant relative to the history of the Eau Claire market. However, relative to other markets, like say Minneapolis, St. Paul, they actually don't look that extreme. In fact, they look fairly mild. As Deb was saying a moment ago, Eau Claire tends to be pretty conservative. You know, the booms in Eau Claire don't boom that high, and the recessions in Eau Claire don't recess that far. pretty smooth economy in general, and the housing market parallels that.
That housing crash back in 2008, and compared to nothing that I can recall over the past my adult life, is home ownership still the driver of financial security and personal net worth that it's been in the past, or has that situation changed because of 2008? And Professor Kemp, we'll start with you on that, if we could.
Sure. Yeah. Certainly, currently, the majority of household wealth is tied up in home ownership. So the most significant asset that most Americans have is their home. That hasn't changed and probably won't change in the near future. You know, you got to live somewhere, right?
Yep.
It may not have the return that some other investments have in a monetary sense, but a sense of place is very important.
And Deb Hansen, I'm wondering, you know, how about you? Is that a harder pitch to make when you're talking to somebody about home ownership, or have they already made their mind up about that sort of thing by the time they come to you?
Quite often, by the time they come to us, they've already made up their mind. However, when we're talking with people that are just getting started and talking about home ownership, it really sometimes depends on their upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they've lived in a transient family that's moved around quite a bit, then they're more reluctant to purchase a home. However, I would say the vast majority of people do want to buy a home or purchase a home, and that you were saying, just like you were saying, it is part of your wealth. It's one of your biggest investments that you make.
And it's an investment that's you kind of have to pay on it, or they don't let you keep the house.
Correct. We have a saying in closing, you pay, you stay, you don't, you go.
Housing in Western Wisconsin is our topic. Our guests are Deb Hansen with the Northwestern Chapter of Wisconsin Realtors Association and Thomas Kemp, chair of the UW Eau Claire Economics Department. So do you rent or do you own? And if you rent, is it an affordability issue? Or are there lifestyle reasons you like pay-as-you-go for housing? You can join the conversation at 800-228-5615, 800-228-5615. I'm Dean Kallenbach, and this is The West Side on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Wisconsin Public Radio is proud to sponsor the Fresh Art Spring Tour in Pepin and Pierce Counties, June 7th through 9th. The 21st Annual Fresh Art Tour is an opportunity to explore the Lower Chippewa Valley and Lake Pepin, with stops to visit artists who live and work in villages and on back roads. They open their doors to share their inspirations and offer their works on this self-guided tour. The 21st Annual Fresh Art Spring Tour, June 7th through 9th. More information at freshart.org.
Support for WPR comes from Rutabaga Paddle Sports, with canoes, kayaks, and stand-up paddle boards to explore Wisconsin waterways. Instruction for all ages and abilities, with test paddling every day. 220 West Broadway in Monona, or rutabaga.com. Support also comes from Great River Shakespeare Festival in Winona, Minnesota, June 25th through August 4th. Performing Macbeth, Cymbeline, and The Servant of Two Masters. Tickets are at grsf.org.
Coming up next week during this time, we take the week off, and instead we'll hear a special Memorial Day episode of On Point. 2 weeks from today, the West Side returns. Coming up in a few minutes, we take a look at Homeless Week for some UW Eau Claire students who are being asked to move out of their apartments before the semester ends. For now, we continue our broader topic of housing in western Wisconsin. Our guests are UW Eau Claire economist Thomas Kemp and Eau Claire real estate agent Deb Hansen. Deb Hansen, we had a call, and he left a message for us with his point. Vern from Boyd called and said, housing is too expensive. It benefits realtors, builders, et cetera, not home buyers. Obviously, realtors, real estate agents, and builders do benefit from a good housing market. What do you say to his comment?
Well, it is a seller's market right now, and the market dictates the pricing. Home builders and realtors do not set the pricing. They go with what the market trends are, and comparable market analysis are done based on appraisal prices of homes that have sold.
We hear stories about people listing a house. My next door neighbor is looking to move. He's got a job about 100 miles away, and he is currently commuting to that job, which is a pain, but he owns his house. And he hears the stories about listing a house and then having competing bids come in over the top of what the actual listing is. Is that sort of phenomenon actually happening in our market?
That is happening.
Really?
And it is a basic law of supply and demand.
Yeah.
It definitely is happening. It is absolutely a seller's market. And that is just due to our lack of inventory. I believe if more people would see that this is happening and put their houses on the market, then we could correct what's going on in the market. So as a realtor and as a representative for the Realtors Association of Northwestern Wisconsin, we would like to see more competition. We would like to see more houses on the market to stabilize the market.
Because when you're pricing a house, I'm guessing you're looking at comparable homes and what they've sold for recently. And if the market's mm-hmm. getting tighter in the meantime, that pricing might be a little on the low side.
Correct.
Yeah. Thomas Kemp, is this sort of seesawing of the buyers and sellers markets inevitable, or is there some way that things can eventually come into balance?
They do tend to go in trends of shifting back and forth. It's pretty rare, actually, that it's a neutral market. You know, when one thinks about home construction and the development costs and the way neighborhoods are built, homes are usually constructed in fairly large lots. It's not, one at a time. And, of course, there's a substantial upfront investment to do that. And so there needs to be a certain degree of market signaling to get that done. And so what happens then is there's a buyer's market, and then contractors get in, they build a bunch of houses, and it drives it back into the reverse situation until it flips again. So that's not terribly abnormal. I think it's worth mentioning, however, given something that came up a little earlier, that market prices in Eau Claire for homes are, and for rentals, for that matter, are actually quite a bit lower than many other markets, not just nationally, but even regionally. And it really points to the fact that this market is driven by incomes, and that really has to be a part of the discussion: wages, incomes, mm-hmm. salaries in the area, and that's really what gets us to this question of affordability, which has been brought up a couple of times.
We've talked about comparing Western Wisconsin to the rest of the country. How about within our own area? In other words, is pricing and availability different in Eau Claire than in Rice Lake or in Amory or, a smaller community like an Elk Mound or a Barron or something like that? Is there, mm-hmm. Is there a difference from community to community even within our region?
There is. I'll take that. There is.
Yeah.
Our northern region of our state, they have more of a supply, greatly because of the resort nature or vacation home nature of that location of the state. So their supply of homes, for example, is about a 7-month or 8-month supply of homes, whereas in the Chippewa Valley, our supply of homes is only a 4-month. And to balance everything out, it needs to be at a 6-month. So the lack of inventory in our area is driving those prices up, whereas in the northern part of the state, the prices will stay more stable due to the recreational nature of that part of
the
state.
So if somebody is looking to get either a retirement home in the northern part of the state or a second, you know, a second home or something like that up north, not a bad time to do that.
But it's a great time to do it. Yeah. The interest rates took a dip in April, so that has spurred a little bit more of home purchasing, but it absolutely is a good time to do that.
I want to talk about interest rates a little bit. When I first got married back in the 1980s, buying a home was just out of the question. Interest rates were in the double digits. I remember 17% interest rates. And I remember, you know, the number of real estate agents like shrunk by about two-thirds, it seemed like. Those rates have been historically low now for several years, though. 4.25% for a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage from a report I saw last week. And it's been 10 years since we've seen that rate over 5% nationally on an annual basis. How do mortgage interest rates and lending practices affect the housing market? And Thomas Kemp, if you can tell us a little bit, how did those rates get set? What do they base those rates on?
Mortgage rates or interest rates in general?
Well, mortgage rates particularly.
Well, mortgage rates are market rates, but of course they're a function of the general market for capital, right? Which the most basic level is targeted by the central bank. So the central bank essentially decides how free capital should be or how much capital should be available in the marketplace and then sets interest rates accordingly. So when they would like people to borrow, when they would like businesses to be investing, they set interest rates relatively low to encourage that. And when the reverse is the case, when they would like to – when they believe there's too much business investment going on or too much borrowing, they'll tend to raise those interest rates. So the fact that the Fed is keeping rates relatively low – is a strong indicator that they believe that they would like to stimulate additional business investment and additional consumer borrowing.
And Deb Hanson, I assume, you know, are people, you know, people who are coming into the home buying market for the first time, is the interest rate as much of a factor for them as why they're getting into it as the house itself or the price of the house?
Yes, I believe so. Mainly if they're a younger person, that's been drilled into their head by their parent.
Get out there and get it while it's good, right?
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, I've said that to three daughters so far. Go ahead.
So lower interest rates, however, tend to get capitalized in the price of homes. So low interest rates go down, home prices go up, vice versa. You know, people sort of have an idea, I can afford to pay this much a month, and so at a higher interest rate, you know, the principal amount falls.
Yeah. Another factor that plays into this is property taxes. How do home ownership rates impact property taxes, and does it benefit a community when more residents own their homes? Thomas Kemp.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, especially here in Wisconsin, but pretty much everywhere, right? Property taxes are an important driver of local government's ability to finance everything that goes on locally, from local police to fire to community parks to the schools that you know our kids go to. And so if you can get home prices to rise, that makes all those activities more sustainable than they would otherwise be.
And likewise, how do property taxes impact people as they're looking for homes, Deb Hanson? Do they pay attention to that property tax line on the listing? Mm-hmm.
They absolutely do look at that property tax line. And because most of them are figuring that into their payment. And when it comes to affordability and being able to purchase a home, they want to keep that payment at a certain level. So if the taxes are higher, then that drives them to a different, you know, perhaps a different area of town. Or different, like a smaller community, such as maybe Boyd, like from our caller, where the taxes are possibly less.
Yeah, and of course, in rural areas, I know if you don't live in a city, for instance, most town governments are not as don't have the expenses or the services that a city would have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thomas Kemp, you're vice chair of the Eau Claire Redevelopment Authority. According to state statute, the authority is created for the purpose of carrying out blight elimination, slum clearance, and urban renewal programs and projects. What is the authority working on in the city of Eau Claire to meet those needs?
Well, the Redevelopment Authority always has several projects, I guess you'd say, going on at once. The biggest one and the one that your listeners would notice the most is the Cannery District. just northeast of Mail, just north of Madison Street. A lot of exciting things going on there. We hope to be helping out the housing problem a little bit. Several housing buildings are planned in the area. A couple are in progress at this point. And so we recognize the general shortage of housing and hope to be alleviating. We also hope to have some pretty significant redevelopment along the riverbank there, running up from Madison Street up to the High Bridge. A couple other projects that are going on is there's been some discussion of redeveloping some of the neighborhood, some housing markets. So historically, generally, Redevelopment Authority is in the business of redeveloping commercial districts and commercial properties. However, the commercial market in Eau Claire is pretty loose right now. We have a lot of commercial vacancies, whereas residential is quite tight. And so there's been some discussions about what role RDA might have in redeveloping some residential neighborhoods and providing some lower income housing for folks.
Would it constitute, in some cases, maybe taking a building that had been commercial and turning it into residential?
Well, I think the details are yet to be worked out on that. I think at this point the thinking is more that it would be rehab and renovation of existing properties. Because, I mean, we talk about affordability of housing. You know, the basics of the matter are, you know, nails, woods, labor, everything costs a certain amount of money. And that produces a price, right, for the property, obviously. But it's cheaper to rehab an existing property, and therefore it can be offered to the market at a lower price than a new property. And so to the extent that we might be able to provide safe, simpler rehab properties to folks at a lower price point than new development would be able to do, might have some real benefit.
Deb Hansen, of course, focusing on Eau Claire a little bit and some of the redevelopment that has happened, and that Phoenix Park area, not too far from the Cannery District, but that area has changed enormously over the last 10, 15 years. A lot of rental units going in there, and some low, some lower priced houses going away. With this development, which seems very positive and encouraging, are you noticing neighborhood gentrification in our region because of that? And why does that happen, and how does it change the market, both the seller's market and the rental market?
Right. You know, I have sold houses for people that have actually downsized and moved into that neighborhood, into the apartments that are available. Mm-hmm. And I see it as a really great positive thing for our area because it gives people a really good alternative, a place to live, especially those people that are downsizing and they want to live in a walkable neighborhood where they can walk to the farmer's market and go to the bike trail and go to Phoenix Park.
And shifting that conversation a little bit, I think I know of a couple of people who have gone from owning a house to owning a condominium.
Mm-hmm.
They get the benefits, sort of the benefits of renting, in that I don't have to fix stuff, which
I like that benefit.
It's a great benefit. And there are, you know, days when my basement was flooding this spring that would have been very nice.
Yeah.
Although the renters across the road were having the same problem, and it wasn't any more pleasant for them. So when your toilets are bubbling up up, that's never any fun. But,
yeah.
Is that condo market an area where we might see some growth, or what have you been seeing in that area?
The condo market in our area, particularly Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls, is very tight. It's basically the same as the single family home market. There is a very, very so much a shortage of condos, and again, multiple offers coming in on condos.
We talked earlier about, you know, just what is affordable, and I remember and trying to build in all those things like interest rate and property taxes and home price. What percentage of a person's budget should go to housing? Thomas Kemp, is there an agreed upon sort of industry standard, or is there, you know, do the economists say one thing and the real estate agents say a different thing?
Well,
we'll find out right now.
Well, there's that's right. That's right. I don't think there's any universally agreed upon standard. I would say that if you're getting if you're beyond half, you're too far. but generally between 25 and 33%, I think is not unreasonable. Again, historically in the United States, speaking United States relative to the rest of the developing world, those rates have been lower, right? So Americans generally tend to spend a smaller share of their total budget on housing than, say, Europeans Sure. or the Japanese. And so it may be the case that we're moving towards more the standard in the rest of the developed world. But again, if you're over 50, you're too far for sure.
Do you ever end up, Deb Hansen, as you're working with a buyer, do you ever end up even being concerned about the percentage of that they're coming up with, or is that more of the bank's problem?
No, absolutely. The bank will always give you more money than we feel is appropriate. But yes, absolutely. Because I've lived through 2008 and started my career long before that, mm-hmm. I saw what happened. And it was concerning to see people borrowing way more than I feel they can afford. But then again, I don't live in their house.
Yeah.
It's entirely up to them.
How much should they have down? We used to hear 20% was really what you needed. I think I first got in, I was at about 5%.
Right.
What's common and what's safe?
Well, 5% is very common. I think there's a perception out there that you need to have 20% down. Ideally, that would be amazing, but that's just not realistic in today's world. So most people do 5% conventional financing, 30-year fixed. There are government programs such as an FHA loan at 3.5%, and some lenders in our area will do a 3% conventional as well. So that is a good way to spur home ownership, is the lower money down to get into a home, so we can start getting people purchasing homes rather than renting.
This is the West Side. I'm Dean Kallenbeck. We're with Deb Hansen of Eau Claire, who's an officer in the Wisconsin Realtors Association, and Thomas Kemp, Economics Department Chair at UW-Eau Claire and Vice Chair of the Eau Claire Redevelopment Authority. Our topic is housing in western Wisconsin, rental housing, purchasing, just how does the market look where we are. Thomas Kemp, how do housing costs relate to poverty and homelessness?
Yeah, well, if people can't afford a place to live, then that's how they end up homeless. So of course the two are related. I think that the bigger question here is why do we have this problem when Eau Claire home prices and rental prices are generally lower than other similar markets? And the reason is because wages and incomes are lower still. We have less than 3% unemployment in Eau Claire at this point, which is extremely low.
Right.
We're lower than the state. We're lower than the federal level. So, why is it that this is the problem? And the answer is the wage rate, that we have a whole lot of jobs in Eau Claire, but a lot of them don't pay all that much. And especially in a tight housing market, some of the first properties that go are those bargain properties, right? Or the ones that are lower cost. We also have, a lot of students in the area. That there's a lot of demand in that lower market, and it produces these really terrible consequences for people where they can't find a place to live.
That aspect about the students, we have four UW system campuses here in northwestern part of the state, along with numerous technical and trade schools. Are students driving the rental market these days? Do we know that, Deb Hansen? Or is that just a specialty type of rental that isn't affecting the other stuff?
I think that might be a separate issue, students versus non-students who are renting. That may be a different issue.
Is there currently a supply and demand situation with subsidized and low-income housing as it relates to people who don't, have the means to maybe buy that house or even rent an apartment at rate? I haven't heard a lot about subsidized housing lately. I just wonder, is that still something that communities are engaged in?
Well, certainly the city of Eau Claire has subsidized housing. It has a variety of subsidized housing programs. I'm not. I couldn't go through those. Okay. I would encourage folks to reach out to the city if that's something they think they can help. We are always interested in. By we, I mean Redevelopment Authority is always interested in what we can do to reach out to these sources of help for folks and to get those in place for people. But certainly it remains a sticking point in the market. The tightest markets in Eau Claire are at the lower end of the cost spectrum.
We held a list. We occasionally do this where we'll just kind of get a cross section of a community and just do a listening session. We don't publicize it or anything. It's for our benefit to try to get to know our communities better. A couple of years ago, we were up in Barron, and we did one of these. And one of the big concerns, we always ask people kind of what keeps them up at night. One of the big concerns was housing in the small communities in Barron County, Barron or Cumberland or Chautauqua. You know, they've got a job there, but they live in Rice Lake because they can't find a place where the job is, and then transportation becomes an expense and an issue. Is this supply and demand thing for rentals significant in rural areas of northwestern Wisconsin? Deb Hansen, do you have a sense of that at all?
I believe it is. It's very significant in rural areas, not only in rural areas but also in Eau Claire. I know several people can't find rentals. And one thing is a lot of people want to have pets, and really hard to find a rental that will take a pet. So that's where sometimes they'll turn to us then for home ownership in these lower priced homes in the inventory, because you can often purchase a house for approximately the same as your rent now in this area. However, like Thomas was just saying, the lower price housing, it's next to near impossible to purchase. So yes, the rental market is tight across all of our listenership.
Deb, what's happening with the home building industry is with this crush, I would imagine they're doing pretty well right now.
The home building industry is doing quite well right now. There is such a lack of inventory for homes for people to purchase. So there are a lot of times when people are looking to upsize or even downsize, they're seeking alternatives, which would be to build a home, because they just can't find the home that they want to purchase because of our lack of inventory.
But Professor Kemp, if we start building more homes, and then we know the population is going to shrink a little bit as we go along here, if trends hold true, again, that's not accounting for people coming to the area because it's popular, but just in general, does that just create the opposite problem 5 years, 10 years down the line?
Well, it's possible. I mean, it's important to remember that the market is, we're speaking to the market as though we're pretty much the same across the board, where it's not, right? So if you're talking the market for 3,000 square foot single family homes, it's a very different market from small 1 and 2 bedroom apartments or even, say, homes that are 1,400 to 1,600 square feet. In the former market, it's really not all that tight even right now. But in the latter market, it's quite tight. But, getting back to something we were saying a moment ago, Deb was saying a moment ago with transportation, this is one thing I think we often neglect when we think about home prices is, we look at Eau Claire, it's pretty much a community where you need to own a car.
Yeah.
Well, if you can reduce people's transportation costs and you free up a significant component of their total budget for housing, and that people may want to live in a little nicer house and not have to maintain an older car. And so when we think about community design and community infrastructure, an important part of the question is how we design neighborhoods to reduce people's other costs besides their housing costs, allow them to get into nicer housing.
One last thing I wanted to mention, and I don't know if this has significant effect locally or not, but I'm wondering if the home building industry is paying attention to international trade policy. If builders in western Wisconsin, for instance, rely on Canada for lumber, how could a change in trade policy affect their business outlook and the affordability of building a home? And is there any evidence that that sort of thing is happening in our markets? Thomas, if you'd start and then maybe Deb pick it up.
Sure. Well,
and if we don't know, that's okay too.
I
just was wondering.
Yeah, I haven't seen any data as it pertains to building supplies and the changes that have occurred in recent trade policy. That said, there are certainly some materials that are coming from China. I suspect that at this point, the tariffs have not been in place long enough that consumers would be seeing significant price increases from them. Right at this point, everybody's going to try to hope that maybe they go away and we're going to try to hold prices constant. If it appears they're becoming more permanent, then first of all, suppliers are going to shift to alternative suppliers, maybe in other nations that are going to be higher cost, or they're simply going to tack, if they can't do that, they're going to tack those costs on. And so we would see prices go up. But at this moment, I don't see any evidence that that's happened yet.
Okay. Deb Hansen, as we wrap up our segment here, I'd like, if you could, to share, if somebody has thought about buying a home, but they've never been in it before, it's an intimidating process, what is research they can do and what kind of help can they get to get themselves in a position, you know, where they maybe don't feel like they're ready to be sold on something yet? You know, how do they educate themselves in such a way that they can be confident when they walk into the housing market, whether it's rental or purchase?
Well, speaking as far as purchase goes, their first step should be to meet with a mortgage lender, meet with your bank, find out what you can afford and see if that's comfortable for you. That is your first step always. There's really no point in actually looking at a physical house until you go to that step. It's kind of like going to the grocery store without your wallet. So you can't purchase a home unless you have that confidence that you can actually buy through a mortgage lender.
Yeah, it takes that impulse buying way down when you don't have your money with you.
Right. And they should always set up a consultation with their realtor. And as a representative of the Realtors Association of Northwestern Wisconsin, we have hundreds of great realtors in our association who are ready to help.
Very good. There was another question. I lost it, so we'll call that good. And we do thank our guest, Deb Hansen of Eau Claire. She's an officer in the Wisconsin Realtors Association. Deb, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
And Thomas Kemp, economics chair and of UW-Eau Claire and vice chair of the Eau Claire Redevelopment Authority. Good to have you along today. Thank you.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks very much.
So coming up, we're joined by two UW-Eau Claire students, student body president Charlie Johnson and the news director of Blue Gold Radio Sunday, Kaylin Schumacher. We'll learn more about the circumstance that causes some off-campus students to lose their housing before the semester ends. This is The West Side on the Ideas Network. I'm Dean Kallenbach.
If you make gifts to WPR using your credit card as a monthly sustainer, here's a small and powerful change you can make to increase your support. Just switch your gift from your credit card to an electronic funds transfer from your bank account. That means more support goes to WPR programs and less to processing fees. It'll only take a few minutes. Go to WPR.org/sustain for more information. And thank you.
Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from the Second Century Endowment Fund, a board-designated endowment fund providing ongoing financial support for WPR in its second century of service to the residents of Wisconsin.
The 21st Annual Spring Fresh Art Tour is June 7th, 8th, and 9th along back roads and in villages of Pepin and Pierce counties. Pick up a brochure and a tour map at any of the 16 sites. Hours are 10 to 5 each day. Details online at freshart.org.
Coming up at 11, Larry Mueller talks with a couple of physical therapists about the use of cell therapy to help people with orthopedic injuries. That's Larry Mueller at 11 on the Ideas Network. And coming up Thursday at 10 on this station, it's Spectrum West, exploring the arts and culture of Western Wisconsin. So when you're at the road waiting for a train to cross so you can continue your travels, you can't help but notice the graffiti on the side of many of the cars. Al Ross will ask the question, is it vandalism, is it art, or is it both? That's Spectrum West coming up Thursday at 10. Welcome back to The West Side. I'm Dean Kallenbach. For many students at the University of Wisconsin, Eau Claire, final exams aren't the only thing they need to worry about this week. As leases end early this month, many students are left without homes. The news director for the UW-Eau Claire student radio broadcast, Blue Gold Radio Sunday, Kaylin Schumacher, spoke to local landlords and students on what Homeless Week looks like in Eau Claire.
As the school year comes to a close at the end of May at the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire, off-campus landlords arrange time for maintenance and cleaning to get their properties ready for new tenants come June 1st. This period of cleaning homes between leases, known as Homeless Week, leaves some of the 6,600 off-campus residents, like junior Jens Cauldron, without homes during their final exams.
We have to be out next week, Wednesday. And I still have finals on, I think, Thursday and Friday. And so I don't have my apartment to live in. We might end up just sleeping in the car at some point.
While this week can be stressful for students, owners of JCAT Property Management LLC, Lori Johnson, says that this is nothing new to the city of Eau Claire.
First of all, it's been like this for many, many, many years. When we were in school, we just made the best of it. You know, it was kind of a challenge. It was fun. I don't know if I would say that we were actually homeless because we ended up, you know, crashing with somebody else. It was just part of college, and it was the experience of it all. And, you know, it was a week, and you got through it.
She says that while a quick turnover of houses would be nice, it's just not possible with all the maintenance that needs to be done.
If you're a student, you're fully aware that a lot of students don't leave their apartment clean, and there are damages that we have to fix and repair. So there's no way possible that if a student moves out on the 23rd, that we can have the students back in with it the way that they want it by the next day.
Director of Housing and Residence Life at UW-Eau Claire, Quincy Chapman, says that he can see the struggle from both the students' and the landlord's perspectives as the university goes through similar cleaning struggles as well.
I do feel the crunch because we have that same crunch in housing of we still have to fix all the things that were broken. I think the biggest frustration for our students is that they hear some landlords say that and then they come back to the apartment the next year and none of that work has taken place.
To try and combat the issue this year, the university is opening their doors to all students to either stay or store their stuff safely between leases. The cost is $14 to $21 a night to stay in and $50 a week for storage.
Knowing that there was this increased stress, we're like, well, the halls are empty. Is there a way that we can at least relieve the pressure? So we, in essence, let them take over a student room inside a residence hall.
Junior Sarah Beckendorf, who is working in Eau Claire during Homeless Week, will be crashing on her friend's couch and driving between Eau Claire and her home in La Crosse while she waits for her new lease to start. She decided to take advantage of the university's office of a storage unit.
I am paying $50 to store my stuff in Putnam this year, just because I felt that was like the cheapest option just for me, because I didn't want to move all my stuff back home just to bring it back on June 1st.
Like the university, Johnson says JCAP is willing to work with students if renters communicate with them about their needs.
Try to work with students that have finals, but they have to notify us. We give them a time frame to notify us, because after that time frame, if they don't let us know, we've got a schedule that we have got to put in place.
But still, despite efforts, some students, along with Cauldron, are upset about the early move out.
We paid for the month of May, and we're not getting the month.
And so Kaylin Schumacher was the reporter on that, and she's joining us now, as well as the newly elected student body president for UW-Eau Claire, Charlie Johnson. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you so much.
So, Kaylin, in the interest of full disclosure, you're actually affected personally by Homeless Week, right?
Yeah, I am. This week I actually have to move out at noon the day before I graduate, which is a little interesting.
Nothing like adding a little stress.
Right? No, right? During finals and graduating.
So Charlie Johnson, as the new student body president, what changes are you looking for the university to make regarding Homeless Week? Any particular ideas in mind?
Yeah, well, actually, interestingly enough, just recently I was contacted by a company called Rent College Pads. They are already doing business within the city of Eau Claire, but they are going around the country and creating partnerships with universities to make it easier for students to find access to housing and apartments or whatever, so be it. So I'm hoping to get access to that so then students don't have to go through their own terms or go through the struggles to find their own housing, and then the university can have a say over what landlords are available on this website, or what landlords are going to get three strikes and they're kicked off. So if they're not abiding by health codes or registration codes, then they can no longer have their leases or their houses shown on this website. So this just gives students a little more power. It also gives the university a little more power to make sure that the student body is being treated respectfully and healthily.
Charlie, isn't some of this really the fault of UW-Eau Claire's academic scheduling? Other UW system schools either graduated last weekend, the weekend before. UW-Stowe, just 20 miles away, graduated May 4th. Wouldn't the problem be solved if UW-Eau Claire simply ended the semester earlier?
I think that's one way to think about it. Yes, the fact that for the past 4 years we've been on this extended academic calendar year, it does prove to be a little more difficult. But I think there are also more issues that come into play with the wording and the leasing, that students are still paying that full month no matter what, even if they are kicked out earlier. So, yes, it does play a role. And hopefully after next year, we're going to be going into a new academic calendar so we can see if that does make a change. There are definitely more factors at play.
So bringing it back to the present, Kaylin, with graduation taking place so late this year, I never remember it being Memorial Weekend before. Some students are living up to 2 weeks without homes.
Yeah.
From the work you did on this story, how does the university administration feel about its student body being homeless during one of the most stressful time of the year, finals?
Yeah, well, what I heard from talking with Quincy Chapman, he was saying that they're not happy about it. The university offers extended housing for them if you wanted to stay later, and they're trying to help out students, but that added stress on students during finals week is really affecting the university and students as a whole. So they're not happy, and with Charlie, Quincy said they're looking to make a change to hopefully relieve some of that stress in the future.
Well, thank you to our guest, Charlie Johnson, the newly elected student body president at the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire. Congratulations on your election.
Thank you so much.
And Kaylin Schumacher, the news director of Blue Gold Radio Sunday, the student-run radio broadcast on WUEC. Kaylin also served as an intern with us this past semester, and we congratulate her on her pending graduation this Saturday.
Thank you so much.
Home or no home.
Yeah.
Catherine Thomas produced today's show with on-air production from Mort Cypress. And Kate Springer helped us out with publicity. We are off next week. You'll hear a special Memorial Day version of On Point instead. Join us again in 2 weeks when we'll be back to explore the issues affecting Western Wisconsin. I'm Dean Kallenbach. Thanks for joining us on the West Side on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.